And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, a conversation with the acclaimed Korean-American author Chang-Rae Lee about his latest novel, My Year Abroad. It's a sweeping wild ride with a cast of fascinating characters who are vividly and compellingly portrayed. I really, really like this book. Chang-Rae Lee joins me tomorrow on Midday. And now, an update on the announcement this morning by the FDA and the CDC that they are recommending a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Lena Wen joins us on Skype. She is a visiting scholar at George Washington University and the author of the forthcoming book, Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. Lena, welcome back. Thanks for your time on a very busy day.
Of course. Great to join you as always, Tom.
So why the pause?
Well, you know, here's how I have been processing this news. In general, from a public health standpoint, the pause is exactly the right thing to do, because whenever there is a concerning safety signal, we would expect for our federal health authorities to be issuing this kind of pause to say they are investigating fully, they're doing so in a transparent way, they are making sure that they're prioritizing safety. This is exactly the right thing for them to do. In this case, there are 6 individuals thus far out of the about 7 million individuals who have received Johnson & Johnson here in the U.S. There are 6 cases of people who have a rare clotting disorder that is also accompanied by low platelet counts. All 6 cases are in women between the ages of 18 and 50. This is something that's very rare. It's 1 in a million. But because of how rare it is, and all these individuals appear to have this type of rare clot within 2 weeks of getting the vaccine. So the pause is important. The investigation is important. Here's my main concern, Tom. I do not want people to misunderstand and think that somehow this should shed doubt on all the vaccines. Actually, Johnson & Johnson is a very different mechanism than Pfizer and Moderna. Johnson & Johnson uses the adenovirus vector. The Pfizer and Moderna use the mRNA platform. And I want people who have received the Pfizer-Moderna vaccine or who are going to be receiving the Pfizer-Moderna vaccine to feel completely confident in that vaccine. And in fact, they should see the fact that there is this pause to know that our federal health authorities are being extremely careful, using an abundance of caution in their work. This should actually give us more confidence that every single possible safety effect is always investigated.
And the CDC has something called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. They are going to convene tomorrow to review, as you say, these 6 cases out of nearly 7 million. This is a rare but severe type of blood clot in women so far, only women, as you mentioned, between the ages of 18 and 50. You yourself fit into that category, and you have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You were part of the clinical trial in the development of this vaccine. So what's your advice to particularly women in that age group who, like yourself, have received the J&J vaccine?
Yeah, I think there are 2 things to keep in mind. One is that this is extremely rare. I know that that may not necessarily be reassuring to some people who say, well, it's rare, but I'm in this group that could be potentially affected. But I think it is important to keep in mind that we're talking about 1 in a million cases here. The second piece of advice is, I would say, watch out for things that seem out of the ordinary to you. So if you are within that 2 to 3 week period of when we might be concerned about these blood clots, again, they've all occurred within 2 weeks of getting the vaccine. So if you got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine 3 months ago or a month ago or something like that, then it's probably not something that you should be concerned about. But if you did receive the vaccine in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you should be looking out for things that are out of the ordinary to you. As in, if you're somebody who normally gets headaches and you have a headache, that's probably not concerning. But if you never have headaches and you have a sudden headache, something to watch out for. Or if you normally get leg swelling, again, not something to be watching out for. But if you now have leg swelling in only one leg and it's painful and red, you should be concerned about that. And so all this is to say, again, not that we should be concerned about all vaccines, but rather for individuals who have just received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and are a woman, which are the individuals who are affected thus far, to watch out for these very rare but potentially serious complications.
Dr. Lena Nguyen is a public health expert and the author of the forthcoming book, Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. She's also a wonderful friend of this program. She also comments on medical matters for CNN, and she's a columnist for The Washington Post. So, Lena, is this related at all? And I know that the answer to this question, by the way, is no, but I want to have you talk about the relationship between the problems that the plant here in Baltimore had with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine a couple of weeks ago, where it was discovered some 15 million doses of the vaccine had to be discarded because they were mixed incorrectly. They had the wrong ingredients and ratio of ingredients. Is this pause in the use of Johnson & Johnson at all related to the trouble that they had here in Baltimore at the plant?
Yeah, it's an important question, and it's not related. And here's why. The plant in Baltimore had some quality control issues. Millions of doses, as you mentioned, had to be discarded. Those vaccines were never distributed. In fact, that plant has not been authorized yet to produce vaccines. And so all the Johnson & Johnson doses that have been distributed thus far are doses that came from a manufacturing facility in Europe. And so nothing to do with one another. That said, I do think that it's important to link the Johnson & Johnson, what we may be seeing in Johnson & Johnson, to what we have seen in AstraZeneca. Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca have a similar mechanism of action with regard to their COVID vaccines. They both use this adenovirus vector platform, and the AstraZeneca vaccine has also been associated with blood clots. That's another reason why our regulatory authorities here have been so quick to hit the pause button on Johnson & Johnson, because they are looking into, is there something about this particular platform that may predispose to blood clots? It may be that that's the case, but it may still be that the benefits of getting the vaccine outweigh the risks if the risks are extremely rare. What the European Medicines Agency has done, the regulatory authority in Europe has done, is to say, they are recommending for the AstraZeneca vaccine for people over a certain age, where the risk-benefit ratio is very different than the risk-benefit for people who are younger and may not be as likely to get ill from coronavirus. That's something that we might anticipate seeing in this country as well. They might say, we do not recommend Johnson & Johnson for a certain age, we recommend it for another age. All that remains to be seen, but those are the types of things that I'd be watching out for in the days to come.
Sarah Y. Kim, who is our health reporter here at WYPR, reports within the hour that for Baltimore residents who are worried about their COVID vaccine appointment after this J&J vaccine pausing announcement, the city here in Baltimore, the city's two mass vac sites will not be impacted because they are using the Pfizer vaccine and the mobile clinics have been using Moderna. So if you have an appointment at a city mass vaccination site, it will not be affected. And Lena, let me ask you, before we let you go, to look in your crystal ball, and I know it's a hard thing to do, but generally speaking, what's the kind of timeline that you expect for review of this information, review of the data, and a decision like the ones you were, postulating might come out of this investigation?
Well, the CDC's independent advisory committee is going to be meeting tomorrow, and they will recommend something. Again, I don't want to speculate on their behalf. I would anticipate that, given the extraordinary scrutiny on these vaccines, that we will hear some type of outcome from their deliberation. That outcome may well be the pause should continue until we get the following information. But I would anticipate that this is quickly moving and that there will be a lot more developments. By the way, I, as a participant in the Johnson & Johnson clinical trial, I have not yet heard from the clinical trial about whether they're going to put that on pause. That's another example of something that I would anticipate hearing from maybe even later today. Not that I have any specific information or insider information about this, but just given how quickly things are moving, I would anticipate a lot of news emerging in the coming days.
Dr. Lena Wen is the author of the forthcoming book, Lifelines: A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. She will join me for the full hour on Monday, the 3rd of May, for another one of our Midday Health Watch segments. Lena, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
You too. Thank you.
Coming up, more on the 2021 session of the General Assembly with two terrific State House reporters, Ovita Wiggins of The Washington Post and our own Rachel Bay, who covers Annapolis for WYPR. They join me after this quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.